Welcome back, everyone. It's Glenn Meekham on the weekend. Great to be with you. I hope you're enjoying being with me. I now have in the studio my good friend and also colleague. His name is Bob Fragasso, Chairman and CEO of Fragasso Financial Advisors. Bob, welcome back.
Good morning, Glenn. Thank you.
Great to have you here. Now, Bob, I got to tell you, this summer has been a striking time in financial markets. We know that the world is exploding in foreign policy, but the economy had a very good second quarter after a very weak first quarter. And this summer, we had this big back in late July, early August, we had this big swoon in the stock prices. The stock market went down about 5%. And then here late in August, it's gone up 5%, been very volatile. And I guess it brings up this whole topic of what are people to do? And I guess, you know, we've been talking for years now about the kind of investment strategy people should have no matter what the times are. And I guess I just ask you to comment on what is that basic recommendation you're always giving people, and what have the results been of that over the last few years? Through all the volatility, all the ups and downs, what have the results been?
And it's interesting you describe it the way you did, Glenn, because this year's volatility is not abnormal. This is always the case with stock markets. Up years are volatile. In classes, I used to give the first 3 months of several years, and I'd ask the fluctuation of the S&P 500 in each of the first 3 months of several years, and I'd ask them to tell me how the year was going to end up. There's no correlation. And in this particular year, we had a tough winter, which caused a timing difference in how people spent their money. And so the swoon after the first quarter reacted to the first quarter that in large part was weather-related, retailers and home buyers and the rest. And then we recovered. You and I have guided your listeners, think about this, going back way back into the Great Recession and told them how to weather through this. We've not been wrong. Now, we're not infallible, you and I, but we have given steady, time-tested, textbook principle-based advice to your listeners. And if they listened to us, they did well through this. They did not try to time markets. They did not panic and get out at the wrong time. They did, to answer your question, create a balance, meaning fixed income and equity investments, bonds and stocks, diversified asset allocated portfolio. They populated it with the right kind of securities. They rode through. There are a lot of commercials out there saying, oh, if your advisor told you to ride through, they were wrong. Well, you know what? Think about where that advice comes. That comes from the people who profit from transactions.
Yes.
Your financial advisor is not telling you to jump in and out. Your broker may be, who's on a commission basis.
Yeah, who profit from transactions and fancy-sounding panacea-type instruments.
Right.
That are very expensive and then can burn you badly.
So you've got to consider from where is the advice coming, what's the motivation of the advisor. I've said so many times, my auto salesman is not my automotive consultant. He's there to sell me an automobile. He's knowledgeable, but he's there to sell me an automobile and make a transaction. He's not my automotive consultant. You need an investment advisor who's going to guide you through the good and the bad. The right way to do it is what we've just said. And you buy good value and you hold it through all time periods. When things get a little rough and you have some more capital, buy some more. Don't you want to buy cheaper?
Right.
But we're in an upward bias here. Fundamentally, the economy is recovering. Continues to recover from the Great Recession. Our markets have been strong on a trend line. But on a long-term basis, the energy independence is huge. That's going to carry us through. That's happening. I heard Morgan O'Brien, the president of People's Gas, speak at lunch the other day. This shale gas and what we're finding with oil is going to carry us through the rest of this century. So buy good values. Put it into a well-constructed portfolio. Continue to get good advice that's unbiased, and you're going to build value for yourself, for your family, for the charities you care about. The economy is going to be better off.
You know, it's interesting. I totally agree with everything you said. And on this whole oil and gas topic, I heard something this week. I learned something that was really very interesting, which is that, you know, two related points. And everything, one of my themes on the show is everything fits together. To understand the way the economy works and the country works and businesses work and history works and how humanity works, everything fits together. And it's interesting here in our neck of the woods in western Pennsylvania where we both live, there's this amazing Marcellus shale revolution going on, and just amazing amounts. I mean, I forget the exact amount now, but the production this year is up over 40% over last year, 40% increase over last year, mm-hmm. which was a huge increase over the year before. It's Marcellus shale from nothing, no gas 10 years ago. It's become this major player. I was driving 2 weeks ago. I witnessed, I could see by the side of the highway, a major new transmission line, gas pipeline going in. So there's efforts to build the pipeline infrastructure right now, but capital B, big but, there's not enough capacity to take all the gas out of here right now. And so what that means is that gas is trying to find a home, and the prices have gone down. So the national cost of gas per MCF is something like, I don't know the exact price today, but let's say $2.80 a thousand mm-hmm. cubic feet. But here in our area, because there's not enough pipeline to take it all out of here, in order to get your gas out, you got to sell it for something like $2 or $1.80. It's like a 30% discount. So the gas is being produced. Nothing's really being flared, but it's all being, the prices are incredibly low. In the Bakken, in North Dakota, this is another, again, North Dakota, think about that. Go back 25 years.
There's full employment there.
Right. The idea that there would be oil and gas in North Dakota. Well, oil and gas was in Texas, not North Dakota or Pennsylvania, right, 25 years ago.
People are leaving Alaska to go to North Dakota
right.
to work.
North Dakota is exploding. Well, there they have, with their gas, they have a lot of oil. The oil is more valuable than the gas, and they don't have enough infrastructure in the ground, enough pipeline infrastructure. They're flaring off gas enough to power a million homes a year right now in North Dakota because they don't have the pipeline infrastructure in place. So we need the pipeline infrastructure built as quickly as possible because it's safe and it's efficient, and it allows these things to come to market. And then we need to export. We have so much gas in America right now, we're flaring it, for goodness sakes, and prices are incredibly low. We need to export. It'd be a massive export opportunity for mm-hmm. us, massively good for our workers and our economy.
And it'd be better for the environment worldwide.
Better for the environment worldwide because we produce better than anybody else. It's a no-brainer, and when I hear people oppose it, they're not looking at facts. And so I just had to go off on that little...
We talked about fracking, and we had County Executive Rich Fitzgerald on that show after you and I spoke. And there are real environmental concerns, just as there are environmental concerns about any process. And there are people who take advantage of the opportunities they have by dumping whatever, and they have to be prosecuted. Put that aside. When I grew up, we had a lot more pollution than we could possibly have now from fracking. I used to have to go out and play in the snow before it turned black from the particular pollution from the mills. All right?
It's amazing.
And coal furnaces. Now, think about the good repercussions of this right now and the rippling effect. You talked about the lower prices, and my friend Morgan O'Brien spoke about this the other day. That's okay. These revenue streams are going to allow then for the building of the infrastructure that we need. Whatever revenue streams are coming out of these properties are allowing for the infrastructure to build. We potentially have a cracker plant coming, cracking the molecules, and that'll open up a myriad of possible uses. That company that has not yet decided to build the cracker plant has already spent millions of dollars on the infrastructure, roads, access, transportation, hiring subcontractors. That's all happening. The community colleges are gearing up, have geared up train people to work in that industry at good wages. So you can't, as my old immigrant mother used to say, don't stand on the train tracks and complain because the train's coming. At least get out of the way. Better yet, get on the train.
You know, it's so funny. It's fun to remember, and I often do. I had two wonderful grandmothers. They're both, of course, gone and in heaven now. But I remember a lot of the interesting things they used to say.
So absolutely.
Let's go to commercial break right now. When we come back, I want to ask you about this current situation with the Fed and what that means for investing going forward. Glenn Meekham on the weekend. We'll be right back. We're back. It's Glenn Meekham on the weekend here, talking with Bob Fragasso, Chairman and CEO of Fragasso Financial Advisors. Now, Bob, I got some other big questions for you about financial markets and investing. But before we get there in the economy, I don't want to run out of time without mentioning this really important charity you're working on.
Yeah. We were talking about charitable giving and arranging your financial management so that you're taking advantage of the tax code. And we were doing that as part of financial planning. And if you care about one of Janine's and my main causes, aside from animal welfare, is the education of young people. And so there is a scholarship fund that we of which we became aware, run by the Marine Corps Foundation. It's a separate foundation, and it's meant to give scholarships to the sons and daughters of service members, alive and dead, service members. And they've given $7 million in scholarships so far. And locally, there's a group called the Steel City Marines, old retreaded Marines that still get together and talk about old times. And they've taken it up as a cause. And there is a golf outing on October the 6th. And the golf outing will honor Jim Roddy, good friend to all of us, as well as Lieutenant General John Davis, U.S. Marine Corps Deputy Commandant for Aviation, which is a timely topic. And he'll be there as the keynote speaker. It'll be at Swickley Heights Golf Club on October the 6th. But listeners who wish, and it's only $75 for dinner if you just want to go to dinner, but all of the information as is at the website, SteelCityMarines, all one word, .org, O-R-G. And so those who are interested in supporting scholarships for young people, and we all should be interested in that because that's our future, take a look at that website, steelcitymarines.org, and thanks for the opportunity to talk about it, Glenn.
Excellent, Bob. Thank you very much. So I have a quote, and I think you're totally right. If you want to give money away, and we all should, we should all be giving in our, we should be successful, and part of being successful is having the ability and resources to give to good causes and direct your money to a place where it's going to make a difference, a positive difference. But this particular cause, which is scholarships for the sons and daughters of Marines and Navy corpsmen, is a great,
exactly right.
It's a terrific exactly right. cause. Let me get back to the...
I'm sorry, just a quick aside, too, that I think you appreciate the segue. Janine and I are playing with friends and clients in a golf outing this coming week to benefit the Animal Care and Assistance Fund through Pennsylvania Veterinarian Specialty Clinic. But the reason I mention that is after she listens to you and me this morning, she's going up to Dick's to buy a new pair of golf shoes and a golf club.
There you go. We keep it in the family. I want to get back to the economy. And basically, the Wall Street Journal reported on a meeting of the central. So, of course, we had this big central bank meeting out in Jackson Hole. Central bankers from all over the world getting together. The Wall Street Journal reported on this, and I want to read you what they wrote. They said, quote, "The global recovery has been disappointing," Fed Vice Chairman Stanley Fisher said in a speech. So, Fed Vice Chairman, said the global recovery has been disappointing. He said in a speech in Stockholm earlier this month. He went on to say, with few exceptions, growth in the advanced economies has underperformed expectations of growth as economies exited from recession. Year after year, we've had to explain from mid-year on why the global growth rate has been lower than predicted as little as two quarters back. And then that was the quote from the speech. The journal goes on to say, this leaves central bankers in an awkward position. Many worry the low interest rates they are employing to encourage borrowing and spur growth could spark a new financial bubble. In places such as London and Vancouver, real estate prices have soared, and Fed officials are uncontrollably watching a boom in U.S. leveraged loan issuance and junk bonds. For now, they're depending on unproven regulatory policies to prevent another crisis and leaving low interest rate policies in place. You know, so this goes on. You know, the Fed and other central banks have got these incredibly low interest rates. They're using it to pump up the economy. Is it artificial? What thoughts do you have on this? You know, this just economic situation.
Not artificial. First, it's business. That could be what you've just read is very complete, and it could be read as business as usual, or it could be read as the beginning of a bubble. Well, let's look at the world economy. There's no bubble. We got a long distance to go before we're anywhere near a bubble. China is chugging along very well, but it's at a much lower growth rate than it had been in the past. It is normal for money center major cities to have real estate prices, London, Vancouver, New York, to have real estate prices go up during a recovery. That doesn't mean they've gone up into bubble territory like Florida was. You know, Florida is at 60% of its high right now in real estate prices. It's got a lot of room before we get to a bubble in any of this. So let me give you an analogy. After World War II, we had come out unscathed, where all the rest of the world was from harmed to devastated in that range. And we were doing pretty well. And we could look at and create almost the same description that the economies of Europe were slow. They were sluggish. They were non-existent. People were living in bombed-out hovels in many countries.
Yes.
All right? But yet we enacted the Marshall Plan, George C. Marshall, Uniontown native, no liberal by any stretch of the imagination, but he knew it was in our best interest to trade freely with Europe. Our aid to Italy stopped Stalin on the border. He was going to influence the Italian elections and turn them communist. Our aid into Italy did that. So that's pretty dramatic. That's after World War II. But we have a similar situation now economically. Janine and I were in Europe a couple of times this year. It is slow. We went into the casino where the James Bond movies are done there in Monaco.
Mm-hmm.
There were some young people standing in there wearing young people's clothes. They turned around. They thought we were important. The place was empty.
Wow.
All right. That's what's happening with that economy. We were in Italy, and it's a very sluggish economy. All right. We need to trade freely with Europe. We need to break down barriers. We need to be able to create more customers for our goods, not be afraid of this. No, we are moving toward, as we always are, the next evolution in our world economy. And it's an upward movement. It's not a downward movement.
So I guess the question becomes, so you've got, it's interesting. You mentioned the weakness in Europe. You mentioned, and there's all this global instability, international instability. And I'm going to talk a lot about ISIS in the next hour. And this whole situation in Iraq, you've got this post-recovery slowness where it's been a slower recovery, not only in Europe, but also here than anybody would have thought coming out of a recession. You've got these incredibly low interest rates. And it goes back to the core question, and I'll mention this week, one of your terrific guys, Jim Danko, met with my mother and I about her finances.
Yeah, told me about it.
And it was
I'm
a great meeting.
I couldn't be there. Yeah.
You didn't need to be. You didn't need to be there.
I know, good.
Jim did
such
a terrific job.
That's my objective, to be unnecessary.
Yeah, but the bottom line is that my mother walked out of there feeling like we have a strategy
and
that we have a very good plan. And she felt very comfortable about her investment strategy and asset allocation. And I guess that gets back to the core questions. What do you, with all this instability, all this uncertainty, you watch TV and you see commercials for gold because the U.S. dollar is going to inflate away and all. What recommendation do you give people? How should people think about managing their money if they're worried about the future with all this instability?
Everyone out there who can say what you just said about your mother, you have a clearly understood, clear, trackable plan to get you to your goals with tactics that you, with which you feel comfortable, continue to march. Everybody out there who cannot say that, get a plan. Get moving in that direction. Fashion what we talked about before, the right kind of an analysis that will lead to the steps you have to take. Forget about the economy. You're going to navigate through the economy if you have the right plan and the right portfolio structure, populated with the right kind of investments where the risk suits you and uniquely tailored for you, you're going to navigate through the ups and downs. Give me any bad period. Name a year, and I'll tell you how the markets went. That's almost immaterial. Take it for granted that the economies are going to fluctuate. This market will continue to fluctuate based on primarily the Ukraine, secondarily Syria right now. That's what's influencing. Why? Because those two items can impact the economy. Does that mean you should jump out because, oh my gosh, there might be something bad happen? That's what amateurs do. Professionals make sure the portfolio is structured properly to navigate through it. Yeah, you'll have volatility, but it won't be lethal, and it'll carry you through to the upturn.
Yeah, it's almost like if you're thinking about, like someone like my mother, she may live to be 95 years old. So
she probably will. She's
got very healthy. She's
and
very
she's
robust.
Got a great attitude.
She does. And of course, a lot of listeners know we lost my father last year, but my mom's been spending the last year coming to grips with that. And part of that is emotional. Part of that is practical, of the financial planning.
And what comfort knowing that that's in place.
Right. And it's interesting. That's a 20-year horizon. And I would say that I'm very confident over the next 20 years as I help her plan her finances, as I plan my own finances, that we will, and as I plan my own businesses, we will face probably at least one big financial crisis over the next 20 years, probably one big sell-off, one big crash, and we'll probably face, given everything's going on, more than one. We'll also probably face at least one major international crisis. You know, and I'm not talking about like what we're seeing here this year, but I'm talking about where it goes the next step and it becomes a war, it becomes a big problem, you know,
right.
Becomes 9/11. I think we'll see some big, but despite that, you stay invested.
Yeah.
You know, you don't say, hang out in cash just because you're worried about that.
Invested the right way. Now, by the way, I want to issue a challenge to your mother, and you gave her 20 years. I challenge mom to get, Diane B. I challenge her to make your 50th wedding anniversary.
There you go. I think she could.
You just had your
25th. I just had my 25th. So let's have 25 year horizon.
We're going to bring her back to town for the 50th.
We've got only a minute left, Bob. How do people get in touch with you?
You by phone, 412-227-3200, or through our website, fragassoadvisors.com, or you can hyperlink from your website, Glenn.
And that's FRAGASSO.com.
Yeah, Fragasso. Only one R in Fragasso.
Yeah, FragassoAdvisors.com. Well, I think your advice is very sage. And like I said, like we've said, looking back, we've been on the radio together now for a number of years.
Since the Great Recession.
Really, yeah, through some good times and bad times.
Right.
And I do think that this advice you give of make non-emotional, fact-based intellectual decisions, establish an asset allocation and stick with it and have the discipline to do that. That's the only winning strategy.
Thank you, Glenn. Yep. The proof is in the results.
The results.
Your listeners listened to us, they were guided properly through all of this. And we thank them for that.
One more time, your phone number?
412-227-3200.
Fragassoadvisors.com. Bob,
thanks,
thank you very much.
Have a good weekend.